Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.
Away we go.
Our Merseyside legends.
Through Aldridge outside the penalty.
John Aldridge.
Gets the ball into his left foot. Brilliant.
And Graham Sharp.
Graham Sharp, whose season has suddenly turned into gold.
0151 470 967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Welcome along. 6:30 on your Monday evening. I'm Steve Hother. So we got John Aldridge and Graham Sharp in the studio. I left them for one day on Friday. Came back to tales of Aldo spilling his water over.
It was good. We had a good night, actually, with that used to
be. A good night. I tell you what, my wife calls it a rice moment. You know when you grab rice and you just drop it everywhere? And like every football game we went to, John used to put a cup of coffee time. Down. And I would say, John, take that away from the equipment because you've got a serious issue with yourself.
All the time, didn't I? Water, coffee, everything.
How did he do his water knockover on Friday night?
My arms were
going
everywhere.
He was just trying to demonstrate something.
So you've had coffee, haven't you?
Coffee all over me, yeah. Rosie, yeah, water, yeah.
What's next?
There's no more drinks allowed. There shouldn't be any drinks allowed in the
studio. Well, there shouldn't. That's proper etiquette, have you noticed?
Me and you haven't got anything.
He's got a bottle with a child safety cap on it.
Unless it's a glass of wine or something, yeah.
Oh, there we go. Al left a very distressed man anyway, so we've had to give him some...
He was all over the place.
We've had to give him some time off after that one.
You need some counselling. He got nothing right there, by the way, Al.
Thanks for coming back. I thought you might have gone to Dubai, Sharpie.
No, unfortunately.
A couple of week break.
I couldn't go on that trip. I've got it.
No, did you try?
No. It's they've gone there quite rightly so. They played the FA Cup tie and then no game obviously with Liverpool in the cup final at the weekend. So why not? I think they're one of many clubs that went over there. I think Stoke are over, Sunderland are over, Newcastle have been in La Manga. So why not? A bit of warm weather training. I don't think it's a holiday.
I was over a few weeks ago. It's a brilliant chap. You should have got over there.
Yeah, I know. I've got it.
Yeah. You were working, weren't you, John?
No.
Were you working?
A little bit. Well, yeah,
a little bit, he said. Yeah. Play golf, if that's worse.
I don't think it is. I think they're different to when we were players and we had a mid-season break. I think it's a little bit different.
It did get messy, didn't it?
Yeah.
Go on, tell us. Where was warm weather training when you were players?
Oh, where did we go?
I went to Portugal once with Oxford. Believe it or not. We stayed in Albufeira and that got messy.
Yeah.
Under Jim Smith.
That got messy.
Oh, that it was snow everywhere.
We
didn't play. We couldn't play because it was snowed off at that time. It was 1984 or 5 or something like that. And he took us to Portugal. Oh, what a mess. What a mess that was.
So he was a forerunner in warm weather. Training was Jim Smith, was he?
Yeah. Yeah, but they didn't train. They were just over there.
But what we did, no, what Jim did, like, he was great person and football man, but we went on a Saturday night in Gatwick Hotel. We went on a proper mad night, the lads, and a few things got wrecked and all that. So we didn't say nothing the next day. So we flew over to Faro. We got to the hotel. He said, "I've some dinner." So we had a massive big dinner. We didn't know when we was training. So after the dinner, we stuffed ourselves no end. And he said, "Right, get your kit on, out on the beach now." And he ran the socks off us.
Did he?
Oh, everyone was being sick and everything. But he says, that'll show you never ever to do that what you did last night ever again. And it was a proper lesson he gave us, like.
I love that. He let you tank yourselves up beyond belief. Yeah. And this was mid-season.
Yeah, January time,
Wouldn't happen now, Sharpie, would it?
No,
did you go anywhere? Or was it just North Wales and a warm weather training camp for you?
To be fair, we didn't really get much time. Because in those days it was like you were involved in the cups, you know, and it was basically if you were out of the cups, you went away and you had a free weekend. We didn't really do it. I think I remember when we went to Malta very, very early in Howard Kendall's tenure. I wasn't warm, put it that much.
It was warm where I was.
But no, it wasn't. But Howard was a great believer in getting away from it, especially if we were under a little bit of pressure. You know, it wasn't necessarily warm weather training. It was just getting away. I remember he used to take Style of Man and, you know, play games in Holland or whatever kind of thing. It was just a break and getting out of the country and getting away from the pressure. But certainly wasn't Dubai. And the boys in our time won't be living it up as much as what the boys are now. They get looked after. I think Everton are are staying in the training facilities of the Prince or whatever, I don't know.
So it's like the Jumeirah. Yeah. It's all posh. And,
Posh. But I think it's the royal family's training grounds and all that kind of thing. It's mental. I
can't believe you never got the invite to that one, Sharp. You're going to have to work harder at that football club. Tell you what, Aldo would have first name on the team sheet if that had been happening. Maybe the squad deserve it. That was a good success at the weekend. It was a dreadful game to watch. The first half was horrible, but look, they're through. No one will look back at the game now.
I thought the first half we bossed it. You know, the first 25 minutes, you know, it was on Everton keeping possession. They couldn't get the ball off us. Then they get the penalty, a good save from the goalkeeper, and a little bit of luck you need, as you say, winning games. That may have been the luck, but I don't think the game was ever in doubt. I didn't feel fearful that they were going to win the game. One of the things I couldn't agree with was the man of the match decision on the television. Mm. Martin Keown gave it to Romelu Lukaku.
I thought that was strange.
Really strange, because I thought Rom was quiet. I'd have probably given it to Jagielka or Barry. But overall, I thought it was a comfortable victory. You know, and away from home, you get the draw for the next round, Chelsea. People say, no, it's a nightmare. I fancy it. I honestly
You've
do.
You've been better off away from home. You've only lost one game away from home all season, haven't you?
Yeah. 1-11, I think.
We've lost one game in the league in the whole season.
Yeah. Right.
Away from home.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Fantastic.
Yeah. But Chelsea at home.
Not
tough
to be
one.
Scared of.
Yeah, but not to be scared of. Not like the Chelsea of a few years ago. Yeah. No, I would fancy us.
I don't think any team's got the fear factor now,
So. Depending when the game is as well. You know, we're talking before we came on here about when the game is going to be scheduled. You know, for me personally, I want it on a Saturday. You know, I don't want it on a Sunday or daft kick-off time. I'd rather have it on a Saturday. I think it'll be a game that will be televised. We won the ones that will be televised. So hopefully it's on a Saturday.
Man United, West Ham and Everton and Chelsea, the two big games. But I don't know how they work it out. It depends who has the first choice or whatever.
It's wide open, isn't it? The FA. You come back from Bournemouth with some credit. Liverpool come back from Germany with what, John?
I talked about it on Friday. It was okay, you know. You'd accept a draw. The problem was you didn't get an away goal for insurance policy, don't you? You know, ideally, one all's at a good scoreline. 0-0 could sometimes act, you know, in favour for the home side. If they get an away goal, then it does count double.
Is the problem not selection now for him heading into Thursday and Sunday ahead?
No, we talked about this. You've got to go strong. You know, we've got the momentum. Now, once Man City were getting beat 3-1 yesterday, I said, yeah, go 4-5-6, bang as much many past them as you can, because it hits the dressing room somewhat. You know, if they go to Kiev and don't get a good result, then they haven't got the momentum. OK, Wembley in the final, anything can happen, you've all seen that. But Liverpool, if we can keep the momentum going, I wouldn't make no changes at all. You know, I played the same side, played the last two games on the Thursday and on Sunday, injury apart.
Let's see what some of our callers think. First one up tonight is Dave, who's in Bromley. He's a Red. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hello, Steve. You all right, mate?
Very, very good. What do you want to talk about, pal?
Well, the performance, the last one, abroad, I just thought it was very, very negative. I mean, last week, at Villa, 6 goals. They looked like they were enjoying themselves. Last week, they just seemed scared of the goal. It was as though there was a voodoo or something in their goal net. That he couldn't put the ball in there.
That bad? Did you?
I thought the first half was not good. They played within themselves, Liverpool, and I'm sure at half time, you know, Jurgen Klopp must have said a few words, because they did get a little bit of a reaction. Second half was a bit better, you know. But hey, neither side. They deserved to win anyway, you know. It wasn't a great game at all.
It was a negative game, really.
Yeah, it was, you know. And I just, you know, spoke to a few mates over the weekend who went there, and they said the place was great, the people were great, they were treated great. It was just a great, great trip. It's just a pity about the game, they said. So I think that summed it all up, to be quite honest. But it's in our backyard now, and it's for us to make the most of. We just need a winner at Anfield. And they're a decent side, but they're no great shakes.
Oh, they're no mugs, John. They are a good footballing side. They proved that.
Yeah, but this cup competition now, after this round, there's not many mugs left in the Europa Cup, you know. So yeah, it's a tough cup. We just got to get over the hurdle, you know. We're not good at Anfield this year, you know.
Listen, John, I'm going to pick your brains.
What?
you know, the likes of the final on Sunday?
Yeah.
Did he show matches like that in America?
Yeah.
What, are you going to America?
I'm going to New York on Sunday, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the best thing to do is go on the internet, New York. I've got a couple of Liverpool supporters clubs. In New York, so you can go and watch it there with all the fans.
Oh, the missus will be made up with that.
No, don't let her go shopping. Just give her your gold card, and you go to the pub and watch the game. And it's even Steven then, isn't it?
Listen, mate, she's got the gold card when we go to Hawaii the week after.
Oh, I tell you what, now you're dropping names here, aren't you? Sharpie can't even go to Dubai, and you're throwing Hawaii into the equation here. He's crying his eyes out.
Listen, can I give the Blues a mention? Because I went down to Bournemouth with them. I took them down on the coach on Saturday, and I said I'd give the lads a mention. It's the lads from Southport, the Everton supporters from Southport.
Mm. Yeah.
They know they are. They were a good gang of lads for Blues. They were good.
Did they enjoy their day out, Dave?
Oh, it was an excellent day out. It's just a shame the ground's so small, isn't it, really?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you put your foot down on the way back and you didn't just take your time.
Chad, please don't do that.
Nice one, Dave. Enjoy New York and Hawaii.
Yeah, mate, mate. You enjoyed the game there as well.
I will do, boys. You take care.
All the best.
I love the way Dave just custard pied you there, Sharp.
Why?
Well, he's off, you know. He's been invited. He's been invited away. You've been left at home. He's got a tropical couple of weeks away.
How do you know I haven't? I could be going to Glasgow.
Ah, very, very good. Carragher's Bar, that's in New York, isn't it?
It is,
You should have thrown that one at him.
Yeah. Still listening.
I like the way, Dave, if you're listening, Carragher's Bar.
Carragher's Bar is in New York, absolutely, yeah.
Make sure you've got that gold card with you as you trade it off. Obviously, he was down there with the Blues. And Joel.
Yeah.
Good game, Robles. In goal. There seems to be some no comments now.
The penalty save was big.
It
was a good save from the penalty, but it wasn't tested because he never had any real threat. You know, I think he had a couple of high balls into the box, but not real threat. I don't think you could judge him. You know, things in the paper now that he's number one. I'm not so sure. The manager talking about maybe Tim Howard moving on in the summer. I think the priority for the manager then is a goalkeeper. You know, I'm not sure whether he has 100% trust in Joel. He's playing him at the moment, and the boy's doing okay. You know, we look in the last four games, or the last five games, I think we scored, 11 goals and conceded one when he's been in the net. So, you know, there's something like John Stones can't get in the side. You know, Maury and Jags are the two central defenders. So, you know, you can't look at it and criticise the manager when you look at this 11 scored and one conceded in the last few games. So, you know, it's a good start, if you like. But the goalkeeping situation is still one that I think will be addressed in the summer.
I think if he's looking to move Tim on, he's been a great stalwart for Everton, then it's a tight deal now for the next two or three months to keep Robles in the side. And, you know, estimate him at the end of the season. He'll know where he stands then. Does he think he's going to go on to be the goalkeeper, or is he not going to be good enough? But whatever happens, if Tim Howard goes on, you've got to, we all know the score, you've got to go out and get a proper good goalkeeper, you know, who can be number one, not just number two.
Is Tim still worth a few quid, you know, in the transfer market, especially if he went to America? Because, you know, American national hero, all the shirts they'd sell. And
I don't know, I think he's still under contract. I think
he's got another year, hasn't he? Two years.
So I don't know. So I'd imagine there would be some compensation. But I think, you know, the club would look on that favourably because he's been a fantastic servant to the football club. But in saying this, we're all surmising this. You know, we don't know.
Oh yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. I was just thinking if it was. It's on the back of the Echo today. Something a bit more in depth on that. Let's welcome Dave, who's in Harewood. He's a Blue. Hi, Dave.
All right, legends. Okay.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Joe. Just watching this thing about the winger Sharpie, I just can't get my head around why he keeps playing cleverly out of position.
Mm.
You've got the likes of Kevin on the bench and Pina.
Yeah.
Just frustrating as dead negative towards the game.
Yeah, to be fair, I think Cleverley's done all right for us, but I agree with you. Yeah.
It's work rate, like, you can't knock him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather drop Barry and push McCarthy back and play Cleverley in front and try a different, and let the wingers be wingers these days?
Yeah, I just think Gareth Barry's one that would be hard to drop. Just on another side, I think he's been a different class for us. I thought he was outstanding again at the weekend. But I look at that now, you've got a point. You know, you'd like to think you'd have more threat. Morales would probably be the one in there. Pina can do that. I'm not sure if I would start with De La Feo on the left-hand side at this moment in time. I don't think he does enough defensively for us. But, you know, Morales can do that. Pienaar can do that. So they're probably ahead of him that. But, yeah, you're right. But he's in one of those situations where he brought cleverly in. You know, it was his player. He brought him in. You know, he obviously fancies him. You know, Morales was Moyes' player.
That's the way is what you're saying. Again, it's a lot of at West Brom when I went through the week, there's a lot of that. His plays, plays before others.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? A bit stubborn, that. Mm. The player is good enough and he's a winger. Mm. Play him.
Yeah.
Kevin's one of the best players you've got. I like Kevin.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. I think Morales must be like pulling his hair out, you know, because you know, you look at the players that, you know, are playing before him. You know, I think he'll be looking at and thinking, what's going on? Why can't they have a chance?
Well, he threw the gloves at him, didn't he, last Saturday at West Brom?
Yeah. The interesting one for me is the fact that, you know, against West Brom, he brings on Coney instead of Morales. And, you know, obviously the fans weren't happy with that. But then Coney doesn't find himself in the squad for Saturday. So
he took him out the line like the one, because he was getting slow to play, obviously. The papers and the Everton fans, so he's took them out the way to
whistle the eye, it's a strange one because, you know, I thought it was a strange one when they put him on against West Brom. You know, I thought it was a strange one.
Shouldn't have played, that was my argument, but I was meant to talk to you on Friday, but I got a phone back for tonight. That was my argument. Trying to break them down, you throw the Morelos, Delefeo, and Pienaar on to try and break them down. Yeah. But he got man marked that game, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, what did you think of Lukaku on Saturday?
I don't know how he got man of the match.
No, I know. I said that as well. I found out.
Take a win all day long and look forward to the Chelsea game, but he's just mad with some of his tactics, isn't he?
Mm. I think he's got an abundance of midfield players. When you look at Barry, McCarthy, Besic, Gibson, Cleverley, you would not put them as five who you'd probably say are much of a muchness. You know, they're very, very similar. So you're looking at them and you're thinking, well, listen, the system he plays, he should really be playing two holding midfield players. So, listen, it's a difficult one for us.
All right, Dave, we've got to cut it short there. Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much indeed for getting in touch. 30 minutes to seven. We'll take a short break here. Then look who's scoring. Former Everton player. 95 league games for Everton. 7 league goals. So 95 league games, 7 league goals. As Sharpie tucks into the Haribo. 26 caps for his country, scoring 1 goal. So, former Everton player, and he was signed by Walter Smith. Does it give you any clues? Former Everton player, 95 league games, 7 league goals, 26 caps for his country. I missed Friday, but I'm sure in a minute you'll tell me who won. We're back in a moment or two. 01514720967 if you want to get involved. It's the Radio City Legends.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.
Is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Oh, well, during the break, you should have seen the faces in here. Right, normally Sharpie throws out names on Look Who's Scoring and he tries to get some sort of indication, was it right, was it wrong? We said former Everton player, 95 league games, 7 league goals, 26 caps for his country, and signed by Walter Smith. So the two of them were having a chat, Aldo and Sharpie. And there's some debate, because Dave, our producer, seems to think you might both have said his name.
No, we never.
At a similar sort of time.
I was on the right track.
He's on the right track, but he didn't know his name.
I said to Sharpie, I know what it is. I said, it's the jock lad. And he went, Gemmell. Yeah. That's him, yeah.
Jock lad, it could be any jock lad.
Technically, I might be able to get... No. Before I can say who it is, no. He jumped in and...
Scott Gemmell. Yeah.
The jock lad. Finished his playing career in New Zealand.
Yes.
Left Everton to join Preston in 2004.
I got all down, look. Look.
And a famous dad who played us. Who else did you have before we gave you
Matarazzi
the full team out?
And Weir. But I don't think Matarazzi played 95 games, did he?
Dave, have a look into that one. Right, yesterday marked 20 years. What's Dave saying? He's saying it's a draw? Oh.
A draw?
Give me a draw, that's Sharpie.
How can it be a draw? It was 5-5 in Friday. I just won that one. That's 6-5 in my...
Oh, well. Well, so is it this? Or is it that?
It's that.
Too easily wound up. Right, yesterday marked 20 years to the day since one of Liverpool's true midfield legends finally waved goodbye to the Reds. 12 years of magnificent... Now, I've got a script here from Dave, so I'm just reading this off the script. He's written, 12 years of magnificent surface. I am, of course, talking about... Who am I talking about, Aldo?
Well, I didn't even know... What did you say? 20 years since he...
20 years to the day since a true Liverpool midfield legend finally waved goodbye to the Reds.
Oh, wait, he said to that?
Jan Mulby.
Yeah. Mulby takes it off white side and then comes forward powerfully. The Dane just past Clayton Beckmore as if he wasn't there. Mulby all the way into the penalty area. What a goal! Jan Mulby with a 40-yard burst. An absolutely unstoppable shot. He went past three players. Liverpool fans danced on the Anfield turf because Jan Mulby's turned this Milk Cup tie around. And the Dane was unstoppable. Two goals from Jan Mulby has turned this tie completely around.
The commentator nearly said, from Yun Mulby.
Yun. That was the famous goal, wasn't it? Jan's famous goal that no one ever seen, but it's out now, isn't it?
It wasn't videoed, was it, at the time?
But it is out on the internet somewhere. Mm. You can actually see
what
it
a
now.
Player.
It's a great
what
goal.
A
was
player.
That against Man United?
It was, yeah.
It was, wasn't it? One of the greatest goals, was, I think the greatest goal he scored,
fantastic.
Wasn't it?
Jan says it's the best goal he's ever scored, yeah.
Good player. Really good player.
Fantastic really player.
You'd be devastated if one of your greatest goals wasn't filmed, wouldn't you, Sharpie? I mean, imagine if your Derby goal, the cameras haven't caught it.
But they did.
Oh,
yeah. I can't remember. Talk me through Jan's.
He went past, he got the ball in deep in Liverpool's half and he just went striding towards the halfway line. He went past one player, went over the halfway line. Two more players came, he went past them, and hit it from about 35 yards, if not more, and it went right like a rocket into the top corner. It's a tremendous, tremendous goal. Made it better by being Man United as well. But I scored what happened to me is a funny story. We played Falkirk Tranmere in a pre-season friendly, and I always remember, we went in 2-0, and Mo Johnson scored to make it 2-1. So we got the kick-off, and look, their goalkeeper was on the edge of the 18-yard box. So I said to Benno, I said, just roll it in front of me. He said, what? I said, just roll it in front of me. So he rolled it 3 yards and I smashed it. And this goalkeeper was going back. And he just got his hand to it, but pushed it right in the top of the corner. Score from the halfway line, right? Obviously, I didn't know where to run because I'd never done that before. And I looked at the gantry and there was no cameras there. I was absolutely gutted. And there's only a handful of Tranmere fans that witnessed it.
I don't believe you.
Halfway like
that.
And do you know what? I felt sorry for the poor lad because he was on loan from Rangers. Oh. I found out afterwards, obviously. He'd never got to take him on after that. I killed him, haven't I?
So basically, there's a handful of people who know that you've done this. Mm. But every time you tell the story, you go further back on the field.
It was from the kickoff, actually. Yeah.
And the reason Jan's wasn't filmed was it was a TV strike at the time.
That's right. Yeah.
So on the day, the TV cameras had shut down. But someone filmed it somewhere along the line,
and it's out on social media now. Great call, yeah.
Right, FA Cup action tonight. Shrewsbury against Manchester United.
Come on, just Shrewsbury.
Or Shrewsbury or Shrewsbury?
Ah, it's Shrewsbury.
Shrewsbury, I think it is. Could that be a giant killing?
No.
No, can't be.
Really?
Can't be.
Yeah.
Well, if it is, I'd expect Van Gaal to have his P45 tomorrow. I don't think that will happen. I honestly don't. I can't see that. I think he'll go, but that won't happen tonight. No, they can't. Although they were dreadful against Midtjylland, they should beat Shrewsbury. Come off it.
Sometimes you don't expect it. I remember sitting in the commentary box with Joe Parkinson at Shrewsbury in, when was that, 2001?
Kevin Ratcliffe was manager,
was it? Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, I tell you what, that was a small commentary box once Parky had got in there, and I had to sit next to him. There wasn't much room for me, I'll give you that. But that was a flattener of a day.
Can you see Mike?
No chance.
Losing that.
If Shrewsbury win, I'll show my backside out of that window on Friday, and everyone can take a snap
on
it.
No
chance.
Do you know what you put yourself up for there, John?
I hope I'm doing it, but I can't see it.
We've said this before. It's getting rarer and rarer now that you get shocks like that. You know, Man United, you know, he's got to get a trophy, and this is probably his last chance at getting a trophy if you've been realistic. No, I can't see that.
I've got a funny feeling that they could go and do something in the FA Cup, Man United. They just
to save him.
It's just so Man United-like, you know. Mm. But let's hope not.
Do you not think Mourinho is almost a nailed-on certainty to be coming into that club in the summer?
You're reading everything differently in the papers every day. They're saying Giggsy now has got a chance, and I don't know. I don't know.
Did you not see that? Did you not see when they interviewed the Italian woman from Milan who had lunch with him, and they got her outside the restaurant or outside their offices or whatever, and she'd come out and they asked him the questions. Obviously in Italian, how did the meeting go? It was great to see Jose back and all that. He's a lovely man and everything else. And they asked her something, do you think they'll have him back at Milan? Mm. And they went, never say never. And she went, no. He start work next year in Manchester and just went in her car. So that's where it all came from again. Oh. And she's actually said, no, he's not coming back to Milan.
She just threw that in?
Yeah, his next job is in Manchester. Yeah, and she was like, I think she wasn't a president. She was high up in Milan.
Director of Milan.
Yeah.
Well, if he does go to Manchester United, are they all of a sudden, I don't know, if you look to where they currently are now, look at Liverpool and Everton, how much of a boost does that give Manchester United?
They give a boost, obviously, but hey, we're talking about it the other week, me and Sharpie, about, you know, Man United had it so good for so long with Alex Ferguson. Mm. What a manager, what he done, it's amazing. But then the real world now, you know, welcome to the real world. They'd be chopping, changing managers forever and a day now, like we all have. Mm. Every team's been doing it, with the exception of Arsenal. But they've had the best, haven't they? So no one's ever going to live up to what they've had in the past.
Whoever goes into that job, it's going to be a tough job. You know, we talked about Liverpool and Klopp coming in, and how tough it was because he inherited players. And he want his own players. Imagine going into Manchester United. There won't be many of them. Mm. If Mourinho's in charge, it will be there. You'll get rid of half of them. You know, they just signed up Memphis Depay and people. They haven't really done anything. So he'll go around there and he'll be ruthless. And he'll just go out and he'll get the money as well. They'll back him and he'll get rid of them and bring in, with his reputation and everything else, bring in players that he wants. But there is a big overhaul of a squad. We talk about Klopp, but whoever goes into Manchester United, he's got the same. David Moyes is coming out and saying he should keep Van Gaal. But if you talk to the supporters of Manchester United, the football is dreadful. Dreadful. Not what they were used to. But as John said before, and we said on Friday, they had the best manager possibly in world football at the time, in Alex Ferguson. Ferguson would have his reserves in the next day if they lost a game, and there would be a big inquisition to why they lost a game in the reserve game. They hated losing. And we always say about winning becoming a habit, losing becomes a habit. And I think for United players now, since Ferguson's been out the door, it's not the same. There's not the same energy and enthusiasm and tempo in their play. And they've got too many players in there now, signings, new signings, whatever, who are underperforming because they haven't got Ferguson on their shoulder, making sure that they do the things the way they should do.
And they're not going to watch all of a sudden dynamic football under Jose Mourinho. You've seen that with Chelsea. Yeah. That's pretty died away. He sets his team out. He sets his team out to win games, okay. But it's very regimental, you know, and it's not going to be flamboyant.
No.
Okay, 3 minutes past 7 o'clock. We'll take some more of your calls next. Short break. We've done Look Who's Scoring. It's been wrapped up already. It was Scott Gemmell. There's a few of you who've still tweeted in. Well done, David. Yeah, you're right. But the boys were right as well. So Sharpie leads, is that right?
6-5.
6-5. All those
six.
Narrow
Dave,
the gap.
Dave's not happy there. Yeah. Dave's the adjudicator, so we'll... Yeah,
yeah, but
he can't even count. I've won at least 9, and I'm now at 6-5 now.
He can't spell either. He's written magnificent surface, not service. Yeah. 3 minutes past 7. Back in a moment. 0151 472 0967.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Welcome back. 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. Still time for some more of your calls. 0151 472 0967. 4720 967. Cup final at the end of the week. Everton have got a little bit of time off to recuperate and then hit the ground running again. And of course, hitting the ground running on Friday night with his bets. was Sharpie.
Yeah, I did. It came in.
He came up with a treble.
Yeah, I did.
What was your treble?
I had Watford to beat Leeds, which they did 1-0. Did you see the own goal?
No.
An absolute shocker.
No, I didn't see that.
It was a beauty. And then I had Burnley to beat Rotherham, which they did 2-1. And my last one was Luton to beat Hartlepool. And Luton scored in the 85th minute. Craig McHale Smith. So it came up. So I think I've won about 250 quid. So it's not bad, is it? Put in the pot.
Yes. What are the pots on?
I don't know.
No,
251.
Right, let's welcome our next caller to the show. It's Darren. He's an Everton fan. He's in Kirby. Hi, mate.
Hiya, how are you?
Hi, Dan.
Hiya, Graham.
Yeah, go on, mate. What do you want? What's happening? Get off your chest.
Get off my chest?
Yeah.
I'm quite happy like that.
Oh,
mate.
Good man, good man. We found one. We found you.
There's a bit of up and down at the moment, but I made up. He played the full strength team at the weekend.
Yeah.
That's the best thing he could have done there. Now, you see these clubs, City did it yesterday, didn't he? And, yeah, you only have so many opportunities to win a trophy. You've got to play your best teams.
Yeah, simple, isn't it? Yeah, it's set you a little bit different because they're in the Champions League and the cup final next week and different things to go to. But I agree with you. I think, you know, the FA Cup's an ideal opportunity for ourselves. You know, it's the last trophy we're involved in. So why not play your strongest side? So I thought we were comfortable winners. I didn't think they really threatened apart from the penalty. And I thought we deserved a victory.
It was one of them games, we were in the pub watching it. And it was just one that you just knew we weren't going to lose.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, it was quite relaxed watching it. It was good, yeah. And you look at the squad as well on the bench. The bench was strong. There's still a couple of players outside of the bench. You know, we could have added to that as well. So I think it's looking quite positive at the minute.
Did you agree with it, Martin Keown, about your man of the match? Romelu?
No, I didn't. No. To be honest, he looked a little bit disinterested, didn't he?
Yeah. I don't know where he got that from. I don't know where he got Rom from. I thought Rom was very quiet apart from his goal.
Yeah, the lack of celebration as well. I'm not sure what that was all about when he scored.
Yeah.
He seems a bit moody, doesn't he, at times, but...
I just thought, again, we had a lot of possession and, you know, I think that somebody was highlighting on the television about, you know, a lack of movement. I think he's got to the stage at times when he does show for the ball and it doesn't come, he gets frustrated and then the next time it's out, he doesn't bother moving. So it's like, it's a really difficult one at the moment, but we need to get more service. But the one ball that we put down the side to him, he ran away from the boy and was unlucky not to score. That was his best bit of the game for me. But
he should have squared that, to be fair.
Yeah, but the striker, when he's ran that far, you know, and he's got a goal in his sight, he's going to go for it. But as I said to the boys there before, the fact that we've scored 11 goals now and conceded only one, you know, and we were getting pelters for not defending properly, do you think it's because of the change of the goalkeeper or the omission of John Stones?
I don't think it's anything to do with John Stones, but just talking about the goalie, he hasn't had to make many saves, has he?
No.
In them games. I mean, he saved a penalty, great save from the penalty, but he hasn't been making two or three blinding saves every game.
No.
So I think defensively, the better. And McCarthy being back makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm quite happy with it.
Yeah.
But,
so looking forward to
the season again.
Yeah, looking forward to Chelsea.
Yeah, we'll beat them.
Good man, that's what I like to hear.
In the semis, probably.
Yeah.
That's how we do things, but no, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, yeah. Good game.
Nice one, Darren.
Fingers crossed, Darren.
You're the most chilled out caller we've ever had.
Yeah.
Even when Sharpie tried to rough you up at the start of the conversation.
I never tried to rough him up.
You did. It was your new aggressive approach, wasn't it, to the callers?
No.
Good stuff.
Pass on my condolences to a good Blue? Good Blues family.
Of course, go on.
A good mate of ours, Matty Watkin, a regular in the Black Horse before the games, going home and away, and sadly passed away this morning. He was quite young as well.
Yeah.
So, condolences to his family and his other friends out there.
Bless him.
Yeah.
Is that unexpected, was it, Darren?
No, it's been cool. He's been battling an illness for a while. But today, unfortunately, he passed away. So
I can do
well, absolutely,
from
all of us.
Yeah.
Darren, great to talk with you. Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers.
Yeah, as we say, that's obviously very sad news, and our best wishes go out. Right, David Baker, before we get to our next call, David Baker has dropped us a tweet here, which is fascinating, really. He's talking about what about losing confidence, or he put it, losing mentality. Remy Gard watched a side of his Aston Villa first team players lose 3-0 to a side of his under-21s in a behind-closed-doors match. Is this acceptable?
I remember Johnny King done that. Mm-hmm. We were having a bad time and he played us against the under-21s. We got beat 5-0. Mm-hmm. We were having a terrible time with it. So it can happen.
Talk about absolutely kicking you when you're down.
Yeah, but you used to always do that. And I don't know what it's like now, but I remember when I first came down to Everton and we had I was in the reserves, and reserves against first team. Colin Harvey was the reserve manager and he made sure we didn't pull out a tackle. Yeah. He wanted to win. He wanted to beat the first team. So there's hell for leather. Hell for leather games. I don't know if they're the same now. But Remy Gard must have been watching that and thinking, oh my goodness.
I don't think that's acceptable. Mm. The likes of Brad Guzan, Alan Hutton, Kieran Clark, Kieran Richardson, Ashley Westwood. I mean, not even sort of vague first teamers. Scott Sinclair, all in the senior side.
It can't happen because obviously, they've got a point to prove the other team, haven't they? And they've caught them, low head. It happens, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's get back to the phone lines. We'll talk with Phil, who's in Kirby. Welcome to the Legends, Phil.
All right, boys, how's it all going?
Hiya, Phil.
Just 2 points first. The first one, I don't know if you've seen it at half time, Moisey and Harry Redknapp and Alan Shearer, who's from Everton. But when we get to the final third, we're doing the tippy tappy stuff, and we don't have a bit of play. Now, I mean, Everton's been thinking that for a bit, although we've been scoring a lot of goals, I think we can get more. But I was just thinking, do you think Martinez has sort of watched that and think, do you know what? Well, they all can't be wrong. And because like Lukaku playing up front, when you shoot centre forwards, you'd be going mad playing sometimes with the ball knocked all around the place. You want the ball in the box. Mm-hmm. Do you think if you look at that, I think you know what, we should get them in a bit quicker? What do you think? What their comments?
Well, I think that's the majority of people's comments. You know, and I think as you talked about John and myself playing up front, we would be going mad. You know, and I think Lukaku's going mad. You know, he's making runs and he's not getting it, but. Will it change? No. I don't think it will.
No.
I don't think it will. It's not something that's just happening this season. I think it's happened since Roberto's come to the club. That's the way he wants his players to play football. He wants to get them on the ball, wants them to pass it, doesn't want to give the ball away unnecessary. Now, listen, we're all from if you like, the old school, who like to see the ball, getting the ball out wide and get the ball in the box and get the ball forward and get the midfield players to go and support. But unfortunately, those days are gone now. So under Roberto, he plays a certain way. But to answer your question, will he change? No, I don't think he will.
I thought most managers they can be a little bit pig-headed, can't they? And they constructive, criticism, and they stick by the book. They say, well, that's me. I'm not the manager. I'll do it my way or no other way. But you're all right. You know, no one's perfect. Mm. You know, you're always learning every day. Of every year, aren't you? Whatever profession you're in, you learn something. So, you know, if other people are saying it, from point of view, you know, you can always have a little look and try it yourself and do it a discreet way. But I don't think most managers, 90% would say, nah, even what they say is wrong, I'll do it my way.
Mm. Do you know, after David Moyes upset Barnsley, I got the sense watching him at the weekend that he was trying to upset no one on his TV coverage.
I think that's a hard one. I think that's a hard one, having him as a guest anyway. And giving him, questions like that as well. It's very, very difficult. He's a totally different manager to Roberto Martinez, played in a totally different way. What Roberto Martinez does, David Moyes wouldn't agree with. Yeah. You know, you talk about him setting up teams to nick a goal, then defend. That's not what Martinez is, a total opposite to that. So they're two managers with different beliefs in how the game should be played. But, again, I still think we're doing some really good things, but there are some things that are annoying as well. And I'm with you at times. And if I was a forward, I've said that since day one with Lukaku. To get the best out of Lukaku, I think you need to go back to front a little bit quicker and get the ball down the side. You saw what he'd done when he got the one ball down the left-hand side and he ran away from the lad. That's his game. His game's not back to goal for me, and I don't think we give him the service that he wants, kind of thing. But in saying that, his goal record doesn't lie, so he's doing something right, but I still think that he would prefer Rom. We prefer the ball played forward to
I think from a France point of view, and we're very similar, me and you, Sharpie, mix it up. Just mix it up. Play when you can play. Yeah. But when you've got to play with strengths going forward, I love seeing defenders turn like we used to. Put the ball in behind, you know, put it down the side of the centre-half, the full-backs. Get on it, you know what I mean, and turn them. Nothing better. Nothing better as long as the ball ends up in the back of the net or you get a chance from him. You just got to mix it up.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for your call, Super Stuff.
Yes,
I think we've still got another call to take in just a moment or two. Here's one from Phil and Crosby. Text us in. Start for the lads. Gerrard at 22, 140 games, scored 15 goals. Barkley at 22, 126 games and scored 22 goals. Who's the best at that age? It's interesting, isn't it? So we've seen Gerrard at 22 years old, 140 games, 15 goals.
15.
Barkley, 126 games, 22 goals at the age of 22.
So, yeah, Ross plays a bit more forward when Steve started. He's like in a two midfield one, so he didn't have the license to go forward as much as Ross does. I thought Ross done well. A little bit indifferent from some of the things he'd done on Saturday, but I thought he'd done really well for Everton. He's a major threat.
Had a good season. Right, let's get to Alan, who's our next caller. He's a Liverpool fan in Croxteth. Welcome, Alan.
Hello, Steve. All right.
Yeah, good stuff. What do you want to talk about?
I just say hello, Aldo.
Hi, Al.
Sharpie. Nice to talk to you again. Do you know when I've just been listening to your show since it come on. Do you know when you were talking about Manchester United? Can I just throw this in again? None of you's mentioned the big thorn in the side, Ryan Giggs. If you were there, you've been the manager, right? And you're talking about bringing Mourinho, which is somebody's definitely going to come in. So which way's the board going to jump with an icon like him? He's sitting there. Is he going to say to Mourinho, well, am I going to be your number two, or is he going to stay for that? There's big problems there, I'll tell you, Aldo.
Yeah, I think obviously it's a bit political in there. I think, you know, Giggs will be off the roll because it'll probably be whatever. Mourinho goes there, he says, well, I'm going to have him, and him. And then Giggs will have to just take a back seat and just be one of the Muppets there, whatever, you know, that's how it is, you know, for want of a better word. Unless Ryan wants to further his career and go into management, and he has to go somewhere else, if that's the case.
Yeah. I think Al, he's got to go. So I don't think he can expect to be given a job at Manchester United with his lack of experience in that type of job. I know he'd done it as a stand-in for David when David Moyes got the bullet, but I think if Mourinho comes in, he'll bring in his own backroom staff that he always does. And if there's not a place for Ryan Giggs, I don't think Mourinho will be sentimental about it. He'll just say no. And I think for Ryan Giggs, I think he might need to go out a la Gary Neville, a la other people go out and learn the trade, you know, at another club, and then maybe in time go back to Manchester United. But I think it would be a massive gamble to give Ryan Giggs a job, over
such a big club.
Yeah, massive, massive
job. Credentials, no.
Although, can I talk about Wembley, the Wembley final?
Go on.
You know, like, it's a one-off, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Which way do you think is he going to pack the midfield with, like, I've been on to you before about the same type of people that play in there. I made a mistake on the television the other night. I apologise for that.
No worries, go on.
You've got Henderson, right? You've got Chan, you've got Milner. Three of the same players. And that's where I think it's going to be won or lost for Liverpool there. I know you've got Coutinho back, but before he got injured, Coutinho, I'd like you to talk about this lad. This lad, Coutinho, before he got injured, wasn't playing well at all.
Agreed.
This lad, another lad, Jordan Ibe. Jordan Ibe shouldn't have been in Liverpool's side for ages because you see the way he's going? He's doing absolutely nothing. That game.
Jordan Ibe's going through a period of time. He'll come out there and he's only young. You have your ups and downs, you know. But where Coutinho was struggling a little bit, I have to say. But he's come back. He looks rejuvenated. And you know, you're saying about packing the midfield. He played the same. What team are you seeing? You're seeing in Augsburg? That'll probably be the team that'll start on Thursday. And a team that'll probably start on Sunday. You know, whether Lucas comes in, he's the only one possibly, and maybe Lovren. Other than that, it's going to be the same side with Sturridge and then Coutinho and Firmino, and then the other three places will be shared, you know, with the other players.
The Yeah, the only thing I think about which might help Liverpool is they don't play with a 6'2", 6'3" centre forward.
Well, it worked at Etihad, didn't it? You know, against Manchester City, didn't it, away when we played really, really well. But they were without, you know, company that day. Company's come back. And they, you know, with our movement, they'll probably need him. It'll be much harder to break him down with him at the back rather than do the centre-half stand, who, to be fair, they're not the best.
Alan, great talking with you. Got to leave you there, but thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Al.
Right, I was talking with John off-air before. We were just having a little interview about the League Cup final, and I didn't realise his history with the League Cup final with Oxford, firstly. It didn't click into mine straight away, so obviously got to a final with Oxford, and then I brought up 2000 with Tranmere Rovers. And just how important the League Cup final can be. Cause we just finished the show on that, in the sense that I know there's a Europa League game on Thursday, but it's massive in terms of piece of silverware at the end of the week. How big's the League Cup final to both of you?
It is now, but you look. It's not the 80s when Liverpool and Everton were top of the pops, is it? You know. Since you know the 90s, you know, the cabinets have been mainly beer. With the occasion of obviously the Champions League and one or two things that we've done, and Evans won the DFA Cup. You know, so anything that you can get, just grab, and hopefully you can utilise that to go into greater and better things down the road. You know, I enjoyed winning it with Oxford. It was a great cup. You know, Sharpie, you've been there in the final.
Yeah, it's probably the least important one, but
it's the most important if you're involved in it.
Of course it is. All trophies are important. You know, all trophies are important. Listen, you want to win the league, you want to go in the Champions League and all that kind of thing, but if you aren't, every competition you enter, you want to go as far as you can. You know, when you get to the final, there's only one step. You know, can you win it? Mm. We'll just have to wait and see. But I think the way they are, I think it's a really tight game. I think earlier on in the season, I'd probably said City would have been favourites, but I don't think City are great at this moment in time.
Yeah.
I think Company's a big player for them. But it'll be interesting. It'll be whether Liverpool can get on their A game, like they did when they played in the league game. If they can, there'll be too much for City.
If we play like we did against Aston Villa, we'll get mullered. Mm. Then the last semi-final, the FA Cup, that was Liverpool's worst ever performance at Wembley ever. You know, and they never turned up that day. Let's hope that they turn up on Sunday.
And what do we make of Aldo's Freudian slip there? The cabinet's been mainly beer.
I'm not surprised with that comment.
He's talking about the Aldridge household there.
The cabinet's beer.
Where did that come from?
I have no idea, but that's probably what...
gagging for a pint.
That's one of your very best chaps. Thank you very much indeed. We'll see you back on Friday night when the legends will return.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.